Good morning, church. Sorry about that. Today we're going to be reading through Daniel 10 in its entirety and Daniel 11, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your Lord, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. This is the word of the Lord.
When I was in high school, you had the opportunity to do a fifth year called OACs. And they're called Ontario Academic Credits. And they were kind of meant for you if you wanted to go to university. And so I was in my fifth year at high school. I went to a semestered school, which means there is two separate semesters. The first one went from September until the end of January, and the second one from February till the end of June. It was probably around towards the end of December, maybe the beginning of January, and I decided I was done with high school. And so, being 18 at the time, I went to my teachers. I was taking three OAC credits, and I had already taken three in grade 12. You could do that. You needed six in total to graduate and be able to go to university if you wanted and all these things. But I had decided that I was done. So I went to my teachers. I told them that I was going to be done, and went to the office, signed myself out, and went home. I don't remember how the conversation went perfectly with my parents, but told them that I was, you know, kind of done with high school. And there wasn't really a reason. Like, I wasn't rebellious. I didn't hate it. I was just done. I wasn't really learning things, wasn't really engaged, had decided I wasn't probably going to university, and I just wanted to move on with my life. Start adulthood, right? What's next? the great adulting. Everything will be easier in the next stage of life. Well, by God's grace, there was a gentleman in my church who got me a job. He had talked to me earlier in that year. He was a meter reader here in Toronto. I grew up in Newmarket, 45 minutes north of here. He was a meter reader, walk around, read hydrometers. And he said, you know, new company, it's great, making lots of money. I'm like, sounds good. So as soon as I dropped out. I did graduate, just so you know, okay? Actually, because I talked to my teachers, somehow, by God's grace, though I left and never wrote any final exams, they all passed me, and I actually graduated with my OACs. So don't try that, though, kids, okay? Actually do your work. I called this person, got a job, and it meant that I had to drive down from Newmarket to Burnham Thorpe and 427, 401, I think, that kind of area, if that even exists, and there every single day to work. They were long days, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. You leave the house at 6 a.m., you get home at 6 p.m. I know, I see all the faces. Adults are like, yeah, that's what it means to be an adult. You work this whole time. But when you go from being a high school student to having three classes to that, that is a big adjustment. Now, to get there, I needed a car. But to get a car, you need money. And to need money, you need a job, or you go to your parents. So I went to my parents, and I asked them for some money. My dad took me to buy a used car, but the quality of car that you get with that amount of money is pretty low. I got my 91 Pontiac Sunfire, and over the next probably however many years I had that, I put more money into repairs on that and, you know, rebuilding the engine and all of these things that it was not worth it. My dad graciously kept lending me money, and I would make payments to him, and I am sure I still owe him money. So thanks, Dad, for never calling in that debt. But I did pay, and what I realized in the midst of all of that, when I was in high school, I didn't know what came next. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought it was simple, but what I came to realize is that it wasn't what I expected. That there was a whole lot more going on in adulthood and a whole lot more challenges than just being a high school student. And what I've learned since, and those who are even further along than me, is you realize that every stage of life is actually pretty much more difficult. And if you have eyes to see, what you begin to see is that by God's grace, He prepares you where you are today for what's coming up later. So it doesn't overwhelm you. So it doesn't conquer you. So it doesn't completely take you out. And so there is always these other things. God is working behind the scenes, even in our lives, to prepare us for what is next. And I could go through my life and show you all the different jobs and all the ways that that happened. And you could probably too. And we probably regularly should do that, pointing to where God was at work, behind the scenes, preparing us, and getting us ready for His glory, and just to make it through in this life for His glory. And so that year, changed a lot for me. I left the meter reader job after just a few months, worked at a chocolate bar factory, decided I would actually go to Bible college full time, and so it was great how God worked. As we look at our passage today, we are in Daniel chapter 10. And what we're going to see today is a behind-the-scenes look at what goes on sometimes in our world, or regularly, what is going on in our world. Our big idea, if you have we do bulletins and you can fill those in. Our big idea as we go through this passage today is this, that God is sovereignly working behind the scenes of life, even when we can't see it. This has been the theme, we've said it every week in Daniel, that God is sovereign, and He is working behind the scenes. This is the theme of the entire book of Daniel, really the entire Bible and your life, and it comes up here in just a way that you don't see in the rest of Scripture. So this week, in this passage of Scripture in Daniel 10, it's an incredible passage of Scripture. Now, I realize we say that every week for everything that we preach on, and because each passage is incredible. But God is sovereignly working behind the scenes of life, your life, and life in general, even when you can't see it. You need to know that, because a lot of the times, just in a moment, we go, where's God? What's going on? You need to know that God is always at work behind the scenes. What I'm going to say is that it's actually God's grace that he doesn't allow us to know all that's going on behind the scenes. If you knew all that was encompassed just in your physical life in this world, on planet Earth, until you pass away, would you sign up for it? There's a lot. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of hard. There's a lot of bad that goes on. We would want to forward, you know, we would want to rewind. We would want to pause our lives on the various different things. But God, in his graciousness, takes us where we are, is working behind the scenes, supports us, encourages us, and engages us with what he's doing for his glory. God is so good to us. And so God is sovereignly working behind the scenes of life, even when we can't see it. And what we're going to see is that prayer is what connects us with what God is doing and strengthens us to pursue his kingdom purposes today. There is a whole world Ephesians talks about. If you've likely heard the passage, if not, you can look at it in Ephesians that talks about our struggle, our fight in this physical world, in your lifetime, is actually not against flesh and blood. It's not against your spouse, your children, your employer, your employee, the random person on the street. It's not against the government or all that's going on in this world of trying to get ahead. The Bible says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, rulers, principalities of this world. That passage in Ephesians, and here in our book of Daniel chapter 10 today, we're going to see that there is a spiritual realm and our physical realm that we live in. It's in some ways behind the veil. You may have heard that before. Or if anybody here, many of us have been on a computer before, right? Yeah. Okay, when you go to a computer, you go to a website, it's very pretty, right? If you've played any games, we like the visuals, we like it all set out. You can press a button and you can see some of the code behind what makes that web page, what makes a game work. For those who are programmers in here, you know how to do all that stuff, and it's just a whole bunch of lines and random things that mean nothing to me, I apologize. I just want to see the website work. When you go to a website, you want it to work, you want it to be pretty, but there's actually something going on behind the scenes to make that work. For most of us, we're completely oblivious to it. This passage reminds us, and what I talked about in Ephesians, is that there is a spiritual world behind this physical world, and it never stops. The war is always going on. God is always acting there, and sometimes we get to see what's going on. As we jump into Daniel chapter 10 today, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 says this: "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision." This first verse is a title. Now, if you have your Bible, you'll see oftentimes black headings in your Bible. Those are not originally in Scripture, okay? Those were added later on to kind of divide it up. This is kind of like one of those, except for in the Bible, because this is a title of what's going to happen for the next three chapters in Daniel. In Daniel, as we finish up the book, this is the fourth vision. Pastor Steve has been, and we've been going through the book of Daniel, and we've seen three other visions. This is the fourth vision in the book of Daniel, and it'll build on the other ones. And it's going to encompass chapters 10, 11, and 12. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this. And today, actually, chapter 10 is just an introduction to the vision. We're not even going to get to the vision except for this. It concerns a great war, a great spiritual conflict, and a great physical war in the world. That's what we get today of it. The rest of it is introductory comments, which are very unique to the Bible, and they show us what is going on when we engage in prayer. That God is not silent, that God is not doing anything. He is actively working behind the scenes because God is sovereign behind everything, even when we can't see it. And what we see is that our prayer connects us to what God is doing and strengthens us to pursue his kingdom purposes in our lives today. And so this passage takes place 537 BC. It says in the third year of King Cyrus of Persia. We know that Daniel, around this time, is 84, 85 years old. And if you remember, he came into exile when he was just a teenager, 14, 15. So he's been in Babylon captivity for about 70 years. He's nearing the end of his life, okay? He's 85 years old. Pastor Steve preached 2 weeks ago and last week on Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, the third vision that we saw, Daniel was there and he was reading the Holy Scriptures, it says. It says he was reading the book of Jeremiah, which is incredible. The same book of Jeremiah that you have in your Bibles today, Daniel was reading when we were reading chapter 9, except for it was in Hebrew. And he was reading that, God's word, not changed over time, there. And from it, Pastor Steve talked about prayer and how God promises things and we can call him on those or inquire about them. And Daniel was doing that in chapter 9. And he was saying, God, you said we were going to be in captivity for 70 years. It's pretty much 70 years. What's happening? And so as Daniel is making this prayer, it's now fast forwarded 2-3 years. The first group of people that were sent into first people have returned after being in exile to Jerusalem, because if you remember, the temple was all bashed down, and they're going there to rebuild it. They've had some great success, actually. They've put the wall back up, the foundations are there, and things were going just humming along. There was great enthusiasm after these 70 years of captivity. They've gone back to set it back up. If you've ever started a building project before or any new habit, you know how exciting that is. That's what happened, except for opposition came in. Opposition came in and stopped the work on Jerusalem and those people that went to Jerusalem to do that. And Daniel is still in Babylon at the time, likely because he's older, not able to make the trek, but also he's in a position of authority. He can probably do more things for them from there. But he hears news that this is stalled, and the work there in Jerusalem of rebuilding the temple, the center of their faith, is going to be stalled for 15 years. Okay, a long time. But what we're going to see is God is working behind the scenes. But this is the picture, and this is what's going on in Daniel's life of why this next part comes. And so Daniel, with this in the backdrop, they've gone there. He gets a revelation. Daniel gets another vision from the Lord, and a vision that he understood. It wasn't just like, I don't know what's going on here. It was clearly communicated, and he understood what it said. The next couple of verses, verse 2 and on, it says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Now, when Daniel gets the vision, he's already been praying and mourning for 3 weeks. Why? Because of what I already said. He has heard that the work on Jerusalem, those first exiles who were returning to Jerusalem, they've been stopped, that there's opposition of armies all around them. And so Daniel, caring about his people, which that's what this vision is about, is it's talking about his people. Daniel is communicating to the people of God, God's chosen people, so that they can be successful, so they can love him, flourish under his care. And Daniel has heard this, and so he is mourning for 3 weeks. Have you ever gotten bad news? Yeah. And the moment next after that, or a short time later, you get good news, or you just forget the bad news. Daniel mourned for 3 weeks because of the people of God and the persecution and the heartache that they were going through. He cared about them. That's the weight of what Daniel was doing, which reminds me, and the first area where I go, do I even know what's going on with other Christians around the world and the persecution that's happening, with our own missionaries. In order for us to lift them up in prayer, as Daniel is doing here, and then he gets to see behind the scenes, that his prayer engages the spiritual world and actually is helping what's going on. And so I think the first thing that we need to do as Daniel here, who cares about these things, is we need to be knowing what's going on. We have missionaries you can read about. There are lots of newsletters out there of the persecuted church. We have brothers and sisters in Christ here that you can know what's going on in their lives. and lift them up in prayer and care about them and follow up with them and mourn for them when they mourn and celebrate when they celebrate. And so Daniel is mourning for the people of God as they've gone back. He does a fast of sorts, not eating the choice meat and the food and wine and special lotions because they lived in the desert to help him look good. Now, Daniel, again, in this time, is not eating these things, just like earlier in the book of Daniel, not because, you know, there's a certain, diet that is best for God to hear you. Why Daniel is saying, I'm not going to consume these things, I'm not going to partake in these things, is he is purposely leaving room for God to work. He's saying, I'm going to be numbered and kind of feeling like I am part of them who are also suffering. I'm going to put off something that I go without that and make room for God and pray and see God work. And God does. He shows up. And so it says in verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. So this is, if you're following along in the notes, these first four verses are just really setting the stage for the vision. And what we see is that as Daniel is engaged, he is engaging in prayer for the needs of this world. That's, well, for the needs of his people. And we are called to engage in prayer for the needs of this world. Down in verse 12, because it doesn't say right now why he is praying, but in verse 12, we see that his words and the mourning are connected to his prayers for the people. And so that's what we see. This all happens, it says, on the 24th day of the first month, okay? That's the month of Nisan. Kind of happens in February, March, I believe, or March, April. And it says, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, or the Tigris. And there Daniel is. This is on the 24th day. So he started 3 weeks before this at the beginning of the month. Lining up with the Jewish calendar, what's going on in the Jewish calendar at this point is the Passover. And if you remember the Passover is one of the great highlights of the Jewish calendar, and it's this reminder that God saved his people and brought them out of Egypt, right? And so Daniel, during this high season of Passover, followed by some other Feasts of Unleavened Bread, Feasts of First Fruits, he's going to fast and mourn and pray, remembering that the God who delivered his people before, he can do that again. That he is praying and asking them to do this. And so there he is on the river bank of the Tigris River, probably just about 20 miles outside of Babylon. It's the river runs down through. And so he's actually probably, he's not in Babylon. This is outside of Babylon. And he's probably taken a break so he can have this extended time of prayer. And as it goes on, what we're going to see next is we're going to see this vision of a heavenly being. And what we're going to see, we're going to see a vision of this heavenly being in verse 5 to 9. And so this is what it says. I, Daniel, looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upez around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleaming of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Now, these first kind of verses here, this description, makes us wonder, who is this man? Who is this person that has appeared to Daniel? The description that we see of a man dressed in linen, this kind of represents the holiness of God, as was shown with the priests going in Leviticus, this belt of gold, you know, just reflecting his glory, and these other emblems, and his eyes like flaming torches, and his face like lightning, and his legs like gleam of burnished bronze. What we see in here is that I believe that this is an angel, okay? Some may say, and as I was reading commentaries, there's a little bit of debate as to whether this was an angel or whether it was a Christophany, which means, you know, Christ appearing before he came as, took on flesh and came as Jesus. And we see this in the Old Testament on numerous different times, a Christophany or a Theophany, where God or Jesus appears and takes on some form to deliver a message. I believe in this case here that this is an angel. And I think we can see that lining up in other texts, and we don't get the name of this angel. In chapter 9, if you remember, Daniel is there and he gets a vision, and that vision is brought to him from Gabriel. And I believe that at this time, this is not the same person, or else Daniel would have said that. He's already met him. And also, when he met him the first time, Daniel, earlier on, when he met Gabriel, he was afraid. The second time, he wasn't afraid. And we'll see later on that when Daniel meets this man, there is fear, there is dread, that it drains him. And we're going to see that throughout this whole passage, that as we engage in the spiritual world and what's going on a little bit more, you know? I wish I could really see what he's up to. I think I could handle that. Years, his faithfulness to God and to the Jewish people, he can't himself even fathom or in his own strength be able to muster and be able to handle all that God is doing, just the glimpse of what is there. See, God's angels, his messengers, which this passage talks about extensively, God has angels, right? There is angels in this world, God's messengers. There's actually good angels and bad angels, right? Good angels, they work for God, and then there are the fallen angels, those who left God, that left heaven, as we see in various passages in the Bible, and sided with Satan. Lucifer, the most beautiful of angels and probably the strongest of angels, lower than God by not even an imaginable way. If you remember, as we were going through our Trinity series, Pastor Steve was talking about how do we, the two main categories that differentiate things in this world, they're either God, and then there's everything else that's created. And angels are part of that other list, right? They're not God in any way, shape, or form. And I would say, just as Daniel, who as he sees this vision, how it just overcomes him and just wrecks him, how he's not even able to stand, how he's not even able to comprehend this, the angels, they are called to reflect God's glory perfectly, and they do that. That's what they do. They reflect and show his holiness and his glory, but they are not to be worshipped, the Bible tells us. They are not to be looked to and praised and prayed to. They are servants and messengers and workers for our Lord and Savior. And they are working here. And so they, God's messengers, what we see here and in this description is that they are holy. We see that in their description. We see that in who they are. They come from the very come from God. They are in his presence, which means there is not sin in them. They are there, and then they are sent out to work on his behalf. And so what we see is that God is holy. His messengers that he sends represent him, and they reflect his holiness in every way, shape, and form. Not every way, shape, and form, but they reflect elements of God's holiness. Interesting. We are also messengers of God to others, right? And we are called to do the same thing. We are called to reflect God's glory and his holiness in this world. God passes that, and he uses his angels, and he reveals it to us, and he says, "You be holy as I am holy." And that's what we're called to do. That's what we see here in this vision, that this angel is holy, and he represents God. He comes, and it carries on, and it says in verse 7, "I, Daniel, was the only one who saw this vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision." His good friends, eh? They just kind of abandon him and run away, and they're like, "You're on your own. You 80-year-old guy who's out here on the river of the Tigris, who we have come to probably accompany." And they're just like, "Yeah, we're out of here. Good luck." And so they leave him and they flee. Now, it does say that they didn't see the vision, which just reminds us again, our physical world is here, but there is a spiritual world, and sometimes that breaks in. And somehow there was such terror, something happened in the physical world, that though these people did not see it, they knew something was going on, and they did not want to be a part of it, and they were out. And so that's what happens. And Daniel is left there. And he is gazing at this great vision. And it says his strength was just zapped. He turned deathly pale and was helpless. Just to see the vision of an angel, to see the holiness, to see the curtain pulled back a bit. We think that we can engage in what's going on in this world, that we're tough enough. That's actually what happened to Lucifer, the fall, Satan, at the beginning. He, overwhelmed with pride, thought he could do a better job than God and wanted to usurp him. And God, you know, he's not a fallen angel. He was kicked out of heaven, right? He was removed because God, who created all things and is sovereign over the angels as well, and removed him. Here, Daniel is trembling when we see the glory of God, his goodness. And there he is, and it says, he's gazing at this great vision, his face has turned deathly pale and he's helpless. And so I was left alone gazing at this great vision. And verse 9, then I heard him, that's the man speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep and fell on my face to the ground. And so this is what happens as he encounters this angel. As it goes on in the last part, what we're going to see is kind of this content of the vision from 10 down. And so what happens is, at that point in verse 10, the angel who is there touches him. Okay? I believe it's the same angel that appeared, and who he sees is the same angel that touches him in verse 10. Some people want to divide that and say, at the first part is just, this is a Christophany. Christ has appeared, but I believe it's the same angel. He didn't just fall asleep and a new angel came. It's the same person that's there. The same unidentified, powerful angel is there. And it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. You'll see, he's kind of up, encounters on his face and all around. There's a lot of gymnastics that's going on right now for Daniel as he encounters this angel. Verse 11, he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. This verse is powerful. This verse reminds us. In verse 11, it says, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. What we see in this next section as this angel engages and starts to share with him, we're not even into the vision yet, right? This is just behind the scenes, this interaction of the angel and Daniel before he sees the vision. The angel, with a message from God, says, you are highly esteemed. The word there is used in the Ten Commandments, coveted. You are highly coveted. You are highly cared for. You are precious to God. God counts on you. You are precious. You are coveted. You are cared for by God. This is Daniel, who is just broken in strength. The reminder of this passage, it's pretty easy, right? You too are highly cared for. You are loved by God. This. He sees you and knows what's going on. And the angel reminds him of this. He says, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. I have been sent to you. Daniel has been praying. We're going to see that in verse 12. And as a result of that, God has sent an angel, a messenger to him. We're going to find out that it happens as he was sending that messenger, as he began to pray. His prayers have been answered. In chapter 9 of Daniel, if you remember, it talks about how Daniel is there. He's talking about the promises of God of going back to Jerusalem after 50 years and rebuilding it. He's confessing his sins. And the scripture literally tells us that before Daniel finishes praying, what happens? He was there answering this prayer. The reminder to us is that when we engage in prayer, this is not a haphazard thing that we just throw out a prayer here or there. We are literally engaging with the powers and principalities of this world, and that God actually hears our prayers and is doing things behind the scenes that we do not understand and do not have the capacity to understand or see. Daniel gets but a vision, and he is brought to his knees, unable to do anything. When we pray, we are engaging with God, who is working sovereignly behind the scenes of life, even though we can't see it. And so Daniel here prays. And what we're seeing in this last part is this in verse 12. It then goes on and it says, verse 12, then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your word has come in response to his prayers." If he didn't pray, what would have happened? Go back and listen to Daniel chapter 9, that first sermon where Pastor Steve talks about prayer. How God, who is sovereign, who is in control of the world, makes sure that his will is done. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, he tells us to pray and engage and that it changes things. And these things seem opposed sometimes, and they are, but yet somehow God, beyond our understanding, works with these things. And Daniel is praying, and God has dispatched one of his holy angels to come to him. He says, "I have heard you because you have humbled yourself and you have come before God. God is working behind the scenes. Don't ever think he's not. Bring your prayers to the Lord. Bring your prayers for others to the Lord, for other Christians to the Lord, that his kingdom and his will be done. You may not see it happening, but it is happening. You may ask to see it happening, but I want to remind us of what Daniel is going through. There is a great grace in the fact that the Lord has allowed an ongoing battle behind the scenes to not seep into everything that is going on now. We enjoy some great pleasures in this world. We are, in many ways, just God allows us to enjoy things. He gives us Sabbath rest. That doesn't mean what's going on in the spiritual world has stopped. He just says, "I'm in control. Take a rest. Things are in my control. They always have been. Come to me. Engage with me. Pray. Bring these things to me." And so what we see here in the final thing, if you're following along in your notes, is that we are called to be encouraged and strengthened because God sees, hears, and responds when we engage in prayer for his kingdom purposes. You need to be encouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraged to go to the Lord in prayer, to go to the Lord in prayer for everything. For those who are struggling, for his kingdom purposes, for the things that are bothering you, for those things in our own congregation. Because he sees these things. We saw in Daniel 9, he's responding right away. He dispatches an angel. It doesn't matter how old you are, God hears these things. He hears your prayers, he sees them, and he responds. He doesn't always respond how we want, and he doesn't always respond on the timetable that we want, that we'll see here. But we give God the benefit of the doubt that he is sovereign, he is working out his plans, he invites us along, and we trust that we will see what he is doing. And if not, we trust that his plans are sovereign and good, and we continue in those. And so, verse 12 again, then he continued, he said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you have set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." I heard and I am responding. God responds when we call to him. It says in verse 13, this is one of the interesting parts that we'll just touch on today, but it says, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Here is this angel speaking, a holy angel, and he says, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom." So this is a fallen angel, a demon. And what we can gain from this is that behind this physical realm and the spiritual realm, that there are princes or demons, both evil and good. Some may say they're territorial spirits. Maybe this is the one that's in charge of that area or that kingdom, and maybe he has other minions under him. But we don't know how that all goes. We're not supposed to. You know, angels are talked about 250 times plus in Scripture. But they're always kind of as an aside. They're an extra. They're not the point or the main message. We can learn much about God and his holiness and the way he works through them, but it's always meant to point us to who God is and how he is working, how he is sovereign, how we worship him, how we trust him. And so here we see that this angel was sent But somehow in the spiritual realm, that angel was resisted for 21 days, which is the 3 weeks that Daniel was praying. And not only that, it says, then Michael, who is the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So this demon, this fallen angel was there fighting a holy angel. And the Lord sent Michael, and Michael came, and they overthrew it. And I have no idea what that means. That's just this battle that's raging where we don't see what's going on, but that God is at work. I want us to know, though, that it's not like... So it goes on. It says, then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the prince of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. It's not like God is weak and that the devil is more powerful than him and he has some more powerful people. God outright and all of his messengers, they have the power. They can win. But for whatever reason, just like in our lives, God can make anything happen, boom. But he doesn't, because his timing is different than our timing. His purposes are different than our purposes. And that's what we... This unnamed powerful angel and Michael, the archangel, who comes... Michael, the archangel, means who is like God. And so this is this powerful angel that comes and, you know, they're battling and he's just like, do you know, I work for God. My name is Michael and I work for the one who is like God. Nobody. Nobody is like him. He is powerful in every way. And so he comes and it says that they were there, and now he's brought this vision. Verse 15, and while he was saying this to me, it says, I bowed my face towards the ground and was speechless. He's back on the ground. And then one who looked like a man touched my lips. This is the angel from before. And I opened my mouth and I began to speak. And I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. We ask to be engaged in the spiritual world, and we pray for things. And when we have a response, and when the spiritual world touches us and touches Daniel here, he is weak. He says his strength is pretty much gone, and he can hardly breathe. But what we see is that the angel comes and touches him in verse 18, and he says... He gives him strength and he says, do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, you who are coveted, you who are cared and loved for by God. He says, peace, which is the opposite of anguish that he was expressing. And this is what our Lord brings to us. He brings it through his angels, through the word of God, through the Holy Spirit, which he has gifted to us, that we are, when we are in anguish, when we are overcome, when we cry out to God in that way, he says, you who are highly favored and highly esteemed, peace, shalom, peace, the opposite of anguish. Be strong, not in yourself, but because I have enabled it. Be strong now, be strong. The emphasis there, the repetition shows us that there's this emphasis of where it's coming from. And he said, when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. I don't know if you've ever been in prayer about something that you've been really anxious about, somebody that you've been worrying about, something that you've been worrying about, and you take it to the Lord in prayer, and magically, it seems like it's gone. That's not magic. It's the behind-the-scenes spiritual world working, where he strengthens us when we bring it to him, because he's acting on our behalf. He strengthens us, and we can experience that because there is a peace that he gives to us. It doesn't resolve it, but it gives us hope in the midst of whatever we are experiencing. And verse 20, as it continues, so he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I'm going to return. I'm going to fight against the prince of Persia, the angel says. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. And this leads us into the vision for the next 2 weeks. The part there that is interesting is this angel references the book of truth. Those who have read their Bible, do you know where you see this anywhere else in the Bible? I'll help you. Nowhere. Because nowhere else is the book of truth referenced in the Bible. Yet this angel The strong and powerful angel who has come from God's side shares this message, and he kind of said, and what he says is right after saying that, okay, I've come, I was detained with the prince of Persia for a bit, Michael came, I'm here sharing this message with you, and in a little bit, I'm going to go, and I actually have to go back and continue to kind of wrestle and fight with the prince of Persia. And after that, the prince of Greece, actually, so these are demons and fallen angels, I'm going to wrestle with them, and then I'm going to wrestle with the prince of Greece, okay? He's like, this is my to-do list, all right? I know what's coming up, but I want you to know what's written in the book of truth. In God's sovereign plan, we've said all the way through Daniel that the book is about God's sovereignty. Some way, shape, or form, it's referenced as a book here. I don't know if that really is a book. Maybe it's more just the idea that it's written down and it's truth and there it is and it's not going to change. Let me just tell you what God has already said is going to happen. God in his sovereignty knows these things, and at times he shares this with us, but I believe in God's grace he keeps much of what his plans are out. Why? So we can be dependent on him in prayer. Also, we're not strong enough, nor are we holy enough to do this on our own, but he has given us everything that we need and that he continues to battle, and we continue to look to him, because the big thing that we need to remember is that even in the midst of whatever heartache, challenge, hurt that you're going through, that we see going on in our world, Jesus is the only answer. We're going to see in the vision how God sets things right. We know how it all ends. We know that God is mighty and powerful, and that God is sovereignly working behind the scenes of your life and in mine, even when we can't see it. We need to trust and believe that. And we need to remember that prayer connects us to what God is doing and strengthens us to pursue his kingdom purposes today. Thank you.